Hello, everybody, and welcome to Solid Steps Radio. My name is Chad Russell, and that is Kurt Souder of Further Still Ministries. And we have started this show almost a decade ago. We said, hey, let's do a show for men. Because men are really good at sports, weather, and politics, and that's okay. There's a place for that. But we want to be a resource and a tool in the toolbox for men to say, hey, we need to talk about the things that are deeper in life and the most important things. And the most important thing we believe here at Solid Steps for you as men or women is that you should be walking in your destiny with the person of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to fulfill your destiny here on this earth. That's a big step, and hence the name of the show, Solid Steps. If you're walking with the Lord, you're walking in solid places. So that being said, we are talking about all kinds of different topics. Well, today's topic, I'm just letting you know in advance, is I don't want to say it's X-rated because we're not going to have language that's that, but the topic of what we're talking about is very dark. It's very dark, so this is just kind of your warning. If you got little ears around over the next few minutes and you're in the car, we're going to be using some language that could be a little bit, what does that mean, mommy and daddy? So we're going to talk about some heavy, dark things today on a global and local scale. And also, if you know anybody who may be triggered by some trauma in their life, we're going to be talking about some things that could do that as well. Okay, so there's our warning. Now, there was a movie that came out not too long ago called The Sounds of Freedom. And it became really popular. It was really popular among, you know, on social media and did really well at the box office. And really the basis of that story was child sex trafficking around the world. And it brought it to the big screen and it showed what it looked like and what that process may look like from behind the scenes of law enforcement and going after people who do that. Well, today's show, we are actually talking with someone who we're changing his name for his safety, in essence, for what he does. But we're talking about that same thing in our own city here in Louisville, Kentucky, and regionally, and what that looks like in regards to child trafficking, sex trafficking, and how it's in your own backyard.
And Chad, yeah, not only is it here in Louisville, but it's all over the world. So DJ, we're going to call you DJ. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
DJ, I just really appreciate you coming in here. Let our listeners know. So you've been a police officer. In 2011 it was your first time you joined and became an officer?
Yeah, started 2011, went to 2022. God called me in a different direction and then went back into law enforcement more recently.
You were, but you haven't always walked closely with the Lord.
Yeah, so you know, grew up a believer and in a family, but as we would say around my church, more the Creaster, you know, so the Christmas and Easter, right? And to me, it was the difference was walking, you know, knowing God as one thing, knowing who He is, but having your faith in Him. You know, having Him as your Lord and Savior and surrendering to Him. And for me, it was, you know, later in life to a complete surrender of, okay, my way is not working. So, in, you know, kind of a brief overview, started my police career as most folks do, driving the streets on the beat, so to speak, worked in some local projects in our city, and from there went into working violent crime to working on the SWAT team as well, so kind of a dual role, so to speak. And things kind of went to where you can easily get wrapped up and justify, hey, you know, I'm doing a good thing, right? I'm making a difference. This is, you know, dad's not home, and you know, I'm not taking you on a date night because I'm doing a good thing and helping others, and all that's great. But until I still really started, you know, walking with the Lord and realizing, you know, your first line of ministry is your family. And unfortunately, it you know, like a lot of folks, you know, you hit bottom before you really cry out. And unfortunately, that's what happened, you know, going through a divorce. And that was the bottom for me, and realizing, okay, my way is not working, and, you know, all right, God, I'm doing it your way now, and which leads me to kind of where I am today.
It's a, it's amazing how God takes our pain and he opens our eyes. C.S. Lewis talks about, in our pain, that's God's megaphone. He gets our attention.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. So talk to our listeners now. Let's just jump right into this, the topic of human trafficking, sex trafficking, and how you got really involved with that?
Yeah. So, coming to faith, I was doing what, as this would be in a predominantly guy show. I mean, what guy wouldn't want to say, hey, I'm going to, work out all day, shoot guns, hang off of helicopters and, and do all the action packed stuff. I mean, that was my day. I love the guys I was around. It was a band of brothers. It was, we were in the thick of it. Right. And, I remember, as I'm, walking with the Lord closer and I just got me this fresh little journal and I'm starting to write down, I'm in church and it said, align your resources with God's priority. And then it said, like human trafficking. And that's what they said. So I wrote that down, thought about it a little bit, and I would never in a million years wanted to do something like that at the time. And, when God lays something on you, you can run, but you can't hide. And he just kept laying it more and more in my heart until finally, just kind of speeding through into the trafficking pieces. I left, went to my, brothers on the team and where I was working at the time and just said, hey, I'm going to go over here and work and help, the least of these and help victims. And so left and went into working, special victims unit to where I'm working a gamut of things from adult sex crimes to child crimes to, and then God opens up a door and, start working with the FBI, co-sworn, as a dual role, and actually working child exploitation and human trafficking.
So did you know much about this whole topic, earlier in your police career?
No, not at all. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, it was honestly just God laying it on my heart. I mean, it truly was.
So what was your first encounter?
So obviously, you work, investigations, which really, they hit you hard, having to work, cases, that involve where someone may be brutally, what to say, sexually assaulted. But as far as pertaining to human trafficking, the one that stands out to me the most was that really rocked me, was I remember getting a call from a dad who, had a daughter that was coming and going and, just crying middle of the night, calls, I found her, please come help. I show up at a local hotel here in town, that probably most listeners have drove by hundreds of times throughout their lives, and go in this room and there's two 12-year-old girls, these sweet little angels, just laying on these beds in this hotel room. And, again, as we said earlier, it's a apologize in advance for the graphic talk, but use condoms all over the room, drugs, pills, and they're just, you can tell they've just been just abused. And that was the point, that it was such darkness that I'd never seen before. I'd seen a lot of violence, especially working on a SWAT team and working in a violent crime unit. Unfortunately, seeing people take their last breath. And to me, the most horrific thing I've ever seen is someone abusing a child like that.
As you walked in that hotel door, and you saw those two girls, what was going on in your mind? Did you have some anger?
It was almost hard to process. It almost didn't seem real. It almost, I mean, it just didn't seem real. I mean, I think just once you have time to process, you ever been hit with something so hard that that's traumatic and you're just kind of blank? And just kind of after the fact, just so many emotions going through your mind of just sadness, anger, hurt, motivation. And I can truly say it is, it's one thing to have a job. It's another thing to be on mission for God. And it doesn't matter what else is going on. It's one of those things that you wake up and you're just motivated. You're like, you're never in a spot to where you're like, you know what, I'll get this tomorrow. No, not this. It's one of those things you're like, oh yeah, we're doing this today.
So we're going to take a break, and I know that's a lot in the first segment. We're going to unpack the next three segments about what does this look like on a practical basis, what's the facts, what's the data, but how can you, a listener, get involved in what we just heard to improve what God created and never intended to be? How can we improve on that? We'll be back shortly on Solid Step 3. L&N Credit Union has been around the Louisville, Kentuckiana area for decades. They can help you with every financial need that you have, whether it's personal, commercial, you need a home loan, car loan. L&N Credit Union can take care of you and all of your financial needs. Brightstar Home Care. If you have someone that you love and care for that needs in-home care, whether they need one visit a week or they need 24/7 care, Brightstar Home Care is your very first contact to start that process and find out what's best for you and your loved one. We also want to thank podlou.com. That's Louisville Podcast Studios. If you want to do a professional sounding podcast or video cast, you want to look and sound great, Louisville Podcast Studios is your contact. Go to podlou.com. That's podlou.com. So, our first segment, we were talking with DJ, we're going to call him DJ, and he was talking about his history in law enforcement and how he got into the helping out in defense of and investigating sex trafficking on a global scale in our own community. Here's a stat that just throw this out here. There are 45 million people today in the world who are slaves in this planet. 45 million, that's a lot of people.
45 million. Yeah. So, DJ, you mentioned you're a police officer, but then really God was calling you into, and it's a ministry called, a non-for-profit, called what?
Slavery No More.
Slavery No More.
Yes.
And so if our listeners want to go to slaverynomore.org, they can find out all about that. Mm-hmm. And you were there for how long?
So I started with Slavery No More somewhere around 2021, 2022, and took the leap and went there working full time for the past, since from 2022 until 2023, full time. Stepped away from law enforcement and went there full time.
And what was that like as you, those couple years, full time with Slavery No More?
So when I first met one of the founders, just, you know, the husband and wife, you know, they were really, you know, compelled to really help those in need. They were at a speaking engagement with Gary Haugen, which is International Justice Mission, one of the largest anti-human trafficking nonprofits in the world. And, you know, you saw what was really going on. You know, they were really just at a point where it was like, wow. You know, how could this happen, as you just read, that many people enslaved? And what you know, the husband and wife had found out was, and, you know, my partner, we'll call him Spence, you know, that I work with, that is the key driver behind this, is, you know, there is a lot that it seems like is being done on, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but being done on a global scale. But what's really being done in our own, you know, our own country? And the sad but truth is there's not much. And I started looking at what they were doing, and it was completely different than anything I'd ever seen. You know, as law enforcement, I saw what I had to do to go through a case. And then I saw there was aftercare. But for some reason, there was just these victims that kind of fell in the gap in between. And I really just believed in what we were doing. So I got to a spot in my career where, kind of like if you've seen Sound of Freedom, it's similar to what he was kind of going through. Is there's red tape. There is lack of funding. There's lack of officers. This is no secret. And when you have that many people in a major metropolitan city and you are the only person that is working sex crimes, child crimes, sex offender registry, and human trafficking, the only person that has all of those. Now, there is a team, but completely understaffed. What do you do? And when you see those two little girls and you want to just around the clock be helping, but you're basically triaging because you just cannot be everywhere at once. And if you know anything about the trafficking, is they're moved around a lot. So what do you do when they get moved? And that's what really drew me to Slavery No More, because what I saw was a group of just amazing folks that are comprised of people that are former special forces, from, you know, naval special intelligence to prior law enforcement, to directors of large anti-trafficking organizations like IJM, all the way through to cyber analysts. It was just a gamut of folks, and we're able to really move the needle on advancing these investigations. And that's where my eyes were really open. When I stepped out in faith, it was like stepping out of the boat. It was like God calling me to leave, and I'm going, no way, God, you're not calling me to leave my job. It's my pension. This is, you know, everything's right here. It's secure. It's safe. And it was like, yep, nope, you're going to come work for me now. And it was that Simon Peter moment, one foot in the boat, one foot out. And, prayed with it, prayed on it, and talked with my wife about it, and made the leap. And it was wild. And I remember the first time stepping out. And yeah, it's, I could go on and on.
So let me back up just a second. When you were with a police force, so you're not only rescuing, but you're also going after the bad guys.
Oh, 100%.
When you go in from Slavery No More, as a, you're not a police officer there. You're just rescuing primarily.
Yes. And what was intriguing about that was I knew what needed to be done to help. But, you know, you have jurisdictional boundaries as law enforcement. You can't just, when a trafficker takes a victim and puts them on a plane and flies them halfway across the country, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But when you are law enforcement, you know, you can't. But when you're with Slavery No More, like a nonprofit like that, we could jump on a plane and I could be somewhere. So I was like, man, how much more could I do if I stepped away and did this? And man, it was great. We could do a lot more, actually.
Well, I think it's interesting now, because now you're back in the police force, but you're also still with Slavery No More.
Yes. Yes. So what?
So you can still get the bad guys, but you can also help out the kids, help out the children.
So how it kind of come full circle is this: stepping out of law enforcement, going into Slavery No More. I remember our first major operation out on a major large size city out on the West Coast, and I remember we were investigating illicit massage businesses. And what illicit massage business is, you probably pass by them all the time. You just don't realize it, where it just says spa. But the reality is, behind the scenes of a lot of those places is there are people that try to come to our country for a better life and unfortunately are exploited and forced, fraud, where they put fraudulent things against them, or they're coerced in one way or another. And that's what human trafficking is: forced fraud or coercion. And then they put them in a very compromising position to where they're forced to sell themselves to survive or pay off a debt from another country. And that's typically what you see. And I remember, you know, am I crazy? Am I doing this to what God really called me to do? And I remember going in this illicit massage business and guys, it's just dim. It's dark. There's just mold on the walls. There's people kind of yelling at these girls. You know, I get shuffled back. I'm in an undercover role in this. And what should be a normal massage, when you'd go in any other type of spa, you'd get a normal massage. And I remember being in the room and boom, door comes open and there's seven, I believe, women from all ages to, you know, some of them very young, and they're all in cocktail dress attire, high heels, and just on each other's toes in a single file line. They line them up on a wall, and this is in America, and line them up on a wall, and 1, 2, 3, 4, give them a number, and pick a number. And I'm looking at these girls just putting on this fake smile, and just, they looked horrified. And, you know, long story short, through that process, you know, I mean, so much is going through my mind as it was the first time with these 12-year-olds. And, you know, we got to a point where the girl was getting yelled at so bad because she wasn't doing what she's supposed to do, because clearly we're not there for that. And she leaves. They send another girl in. And you're trying to develop all these things. Are they being trafficked? Is there freedom of movement? Are they allowed to leave? And what we find on a lot of these is they're not allowed to leave. They sleep there. They stay there. They're not compensated. They're not paid. And this is their life. And to the point where I'm asking this young lady, you know, little things to identify, make small talk. And she's at a spot where I said, "What's that on your wrist?" And she says, "Oh, it's nothing." She hides it. And she gets to a spot, and she finally opens up and says, "Oh," and she turns it over, and it says God. And I tell you what, I don't know if you've ever been in a spot where God has washed over you and you felt his presence, but it's been, at that moment, I knew, it was like, this is no accident. I've got you right where I want you to help my children. So that was the first time, and there's been many more since like that.
Wow. So let me ask you a quick question. Before we take a break and go to the next segment, your job at Slavery No More is basically you're trying to be an undercover, go in, and you're trying to find victims. Is that correct?
Yes.
For the most part. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And on the next segment, we're going to talk more about what does a day in the life of DJ look like when he goes to work for Slavery No More? What is it that he does to say, okay, I'm going to work, and how am I going to go out and find these young women and men, young men, young boys, and what he finds when he goes out to look for. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about who are the perpetrators who are doing this, a little bit more about what he finds out about them. So we're going to take a break, come back more in the third segment, talk more about the details of what it is that he does here on Solid Step Radio. Iroquois Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Dr. Eric Veal has been a sponsor of our show since the beginning. If you need your teeth cleaned, overall dental health, Dr. Eric Veal can take care of you. He's got two locations in the Louisville area, one in Iroquois Park area, and then the other in Eastern Jefferson County. That's Iroquois Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And Frank Enterprises, they are a professional septic tank landscaping and wastewater management company. If you have water outside your house that's not going where it's supposed to go, or you have septic tank issues or any landscaping needs, Frank Enterprises can take care of you. Their years of experience will come through, and you will be thankful you called them. So in our first couple segments, we've talked with DJ. We're going to call him DJ. It's not his real name. But we're going to talk to DJ about a little bit about his history, about how he got to meet with the organization Slavery No More. And just as an example, if you're just catching this, as a reminder, this is a very X-rated topic that we're talking about today. Our language is going to be clean, but the topic is going to be pretty dark about the sex trafficking world that our guest is in regards to trying to help out. Now, DJ, on the last segment, I talked about, okay, what does a day in the life of what you do look like? So you get up, you're going to go to work, and you're going to help somebody in regards as slavery no more who's in the sex trafficking industry and you're trying to figure out where someone is, give me an example of what a day in the life of your job looks like.
Well, and the day in the life is quite different from a law enforcement side to where you're juggling, as many officers are, different roles, even in the detective spot. And to be able to focus just on human trafficking, knowing what you know and knowing what you're looking for, you're able to pinpoint and really hone in on investigation. As I mentioned in the before our last break, is going into illicit massage business. And once you see that and you see, you know, horrific things that these victims are going through, but having the background that our team does, we're able to develop intelligence packages and put together almost just serve it on a platter to these law enforcement agencies and say, hey, we know you're overwhelmed. You probably can't get out here as much time as we can to see the things we've saw, but here it is. Here's the pictures. Here's the folks. Here's where it's at. All the things to meet the elements of the crime. And then just as a citizen would, a good Samaritan seeing something on the side of the road and calling 911, it's just on a larger scale. So we'll build out these investigations and then turn them over. And in the grand scheme of things, what we've seen and what have happened is we've taken what appeared to be one, you know, as an example, illicit massage business, and realized that there's people being trafficked connected over 500 across the country. And these victims aren't just in one state. They're in a lot of states from coast to coast, literally. And the day of the life may look sitting at a computer and typing out investigative letters and looking in to see, you know, all the back things of how these people are interconnected through open source intelligence or law enforcement tools. Or it may be, you know, seeing that somebody's advertising this victim online on a particular site, and I'm jumping on a plane, and next thing you know, we're down in Miami, and we're eyes on in a particular part of town, gathering license plates, pictures, all the perpetrators that are actually moving these victims. So it's a pretty wide array of things.
So you're doing just a ton of investigative footwork voluntarily, to be able to go and connect with law enforcement, FBI, whatever it is, local law enforcement, wherever it is, and go, hey, I've got a case together here. Because you have a law enforcement background. You're not a salesman who just does this on the side. You've got a history with this. So you're able to just help be a middleman and fill in the gap where basically you were telling us before the show, a lot of departments are severely understaffed for this, right?
Yes, absolutely. So
wow. I'm just blown away with how much of this is going on throughout our communities and throughout our country and throughout our world. So let's back into the day of the life of the DJ. So you're investigating. Now you're back in the police force.
Yes.
Let's talk about getting the bad guys for a little bit. I'm all about getting the bad guys. we got to rescue the young folks, but we also got to stop the bad guys. How do you do that?
Well, it's more complicated than folks think, and that's another thing that a lot of people don't know. That, you know, law enforcement says, "Oh man, I'm going to go get this bad guy." Well, you know, you got to have a victim in the crime if they're a bad guy. It depend upon what it is. In some cases, with human trafficking. And if you don't have a victim that's cooperating, or maybe they're in a spot mentally where they're not ready to report. A lot of folks don't know this, but, you know, they have a right per Victim's Bill of Rights to report or not report. And if they say, all the signs say, hey, gosh, this person's being, you know, abused sexually, and they say, no, I don't want your help, then as law enforcement, they're going to walk away because they have to, and they move on to the next thing. So what happens to that person then? I mean, you know, as Christians, it's like, what do we do with that? Do we just say, oh, well, we tried, or do we leave the 99 to find the one? And I think that's the big difference in what we're doing is, you know, it may not be a case right now, but, you know, we can build something out, and we are, you know, we have guys that were former narcotics, violent crimes, you know, all these different things. So there's different ways to go after these perpetrators and, you know, get them arrested and cut the head off the snake, so to speak. because there are large, you know, groups that are doing this. I mean, it's not just one lone person.
So I got a question. Is the majority of your work for what you do with Slavery No More going after the perpetrators who are committing the crimes or the victims who are the victims of the crimes?
It's both. Okay. It's both. And I say that because a lot of times they're hiding in the shadows. You know, for example, we've worked details with major large-scale events like the Super Bowl. And you will see these girls advertised. But when you get in this area and you really get eyes on these victims and you lay back long enough, these bad guys will show themselves eventually. And it's a two-part. It really is. And that's where it takes both sides. You know, being that middleman is, you know, if you recognize the victim, getting them to aftercare and the right folks, but also gathering the intelligence enough to turn that over to the law enforcement side to where they can go after the bad guy as well. So it's an important role.
Mm. So if you're talking about all these, the children, that let's talk about the kids for the victims, right? How many of these, when you're online and you find someone, you told us an example earlier, how you were in a sting operation, I don't know if that's the correct word, but you were in an undercover operation and you were meeting a young girl, right? And you started having the conversation with her at a hotel, right? How do you approach that in regards to, okay, what does this look like with from the time I'm going to contact this person, meeting her, and what do you do with her when you find her?
So it's a delicate, delicate situation. And sometimes obviously it involves, all the time, it involves a lot of prayer. You know, for some of these victims, if they're moved halfway across the country and you may be, you know, you're watching them from a distance, they may not know who you are. And then you reappear, you know, that is where law enforcement can't do some of those things, unfortunately. And for example, that's what we've done. You know, I posed as an undercover and met a young lady who was, you know, that was, you know, lived in South America, came here for a better life, and unfortunately was being trafficked. And she thought, obviously, I was there for something more. We just happened to meet in a hotel lobby to start off, and obviously we stayed there. But during that process, we're able to gather more intelligence by talking with her, you know, all the time, having a team of guys around me who can do surveillance, counter surveillance, things that they've been trained in their past jobs, to identify a trafficker that may be watching from a distance, gather license plates, all these things, and get recording statements from this victim saying, for example, this young lady said, you know, I'm a Christian. I ran a youth group. I had a job and things were really bad in my country. I came here for a better life. And now they told me I'd be doing this job, making this money. And now I'm stuck doing this. And she said, and what hurt most of all, she said, my faith in God has really just went away. And, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Do you identify when you get in that position? You're sitting with this young lady. And did you find her online? Is that how you?
Yes.
Okay. So you find her online. You're having a conversation with her that you had said in the break is legal. You're not having an illegal conversation with them, meaning you're not trying to get her to say something that's going to incriminate her per se. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So when you meet with this young lady, do you identify yourself right up front? Hey, I'm not here to do that. I'm undercover. Or do you ever, at what point do you let them know that?
No, it's all case by case, but you know, it really just depends. It has to be one of those things you have to fill out because it, just from the experience of doing it, depend upon how relaxed they are, you know, what situation are you in? So it all varies. But, you know, for one example of that is, you know, I'm going to play as if, you know, I'm shy, I'm nervous, but I just would like to talk to you right now. And you spend that time just having small talk and conversation where you get better at and learning how to read body language and interview and talk to people and gather the intelligence through a conversation that you need.
Okay. So in other words, when these young ladies, when you realize, is your goal when you're meeting with one of these young ladies, I'm trying to get you out of here with me to get you safe?
If at all possible, yes.
Okay. And what if she's hesitant about that? What do you do from there?
you would just break away from the meeting. We had that with two young ladies at a Super Bowl. It was very obvious, based on brands, tattoos, things of that nature, that they were in the life, so to speak. And unfortunately, they were not in a place where they were ready to move out. But we had gathered enough intelligence and passed it on to law enforcement so they could continue to pursue and help her.
Well, we're going to take a break, come back for a fourth and final segment here on Solid Steps Radio. Hadley Sign Solutions. Owner Chris Hadley has 35 years experience in design, manufacturing, and the installation of commercial exterior electrical signage. And he can help promote your business in Kentucky and Southern Indiana. Call him at 502-419-7228. That's 419-7228. Or you can email him at hadleysignsolutions@gmail.com. That's Hadley Sign Solutions. Dan Hart Financial. If you want to retire or want to talk about retirement, whether you're a year away or 20 years away, Dan Hart can sit down, come up with your plan that you need to have, or talk about your plan that you have in place and see if it's a good fit. Dan Hart Financial. So this is our fourth and final segment. We've been talking to DJ on his involvement with an organization called SlaveryNoMore.org. SlaveryNoMore.org. And on the break, we were talking about, we want to talk a little bit more about the local scene here, okay? Local being, we're based out of Louisville, Kentucky. And you had mentioned on the break that there was one of your all's operations, that there was a manufacturing plants in the region that were trafficking slave labor. And I'm like, my gosh, what else is going on around here?
Yeah, I mean, Guatemalan children, young children, five major manufacturing plants, and you'd never think in a million years in America, but it's real, and it really happens. But, yeah, I'd love to tell you more about what's happening. Why Louisville? Why here? And, you know, just some things to tell you more about with Kentucky in general is there's certain things that go into that can – why people could be trafficked, and it's just things that happen in their life. Maybe it's an issue or poverty or child abuse or large scale events that will draw traffickers in because they know there are going to be people there for leisure and lots of people gather to party, to hang out, whatever the case may be. And traffickers will also run up and down major highways on and off, hotels and sell the girls there and then move on. So just some things with Kentucky to make you something to think about is, and don't hold me to this, I believe we have two or three of the poorest counties in America. And unfortunately, those things traffickers prey on. They know that people are hurting for money. Maybe they're starving. Maybe they have no other way. And sometimes are coerced into trafficking in that way. Another thing is we are one of the top, if not the top, when it comes to child abuse. Kentucky is. And, you know, something to think about is, you know, one in seven runaways are within 24 hours are met by a trafficker. That's a real thing. I think it's roughly 40% overall. It's crazy how that works out. And it's something to really think about. Another thing to think about is these large scale events. When you have this on these large scale events, it draws people in. What does Kentucky have, Louisville alone, that never moves? You know, the Super Bowl moves every year, NBA playoffs. What doesn't move every year? The Kentucky Derby and the National Farm Machinery Show draws in just a large scale amount of people year after year after year. And traffickers know that. So girls are brought into our city every year for that very reason. Another thing to think about, you know, UPS, we have the largest hub, right? And am I, correct me if I'm wrong here, in the world. It's probably not a secret that they have it right here. 65 corridor, you can break off in the thing about Louisville, in a couple hour period, you can be in Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Nashville. You can easily jump off, and traffickers will do that. They will move them from city to city. So it's something to really think about that goes on right here in our backyard, while we unfortunately are a hotbed. And being a sanctuary city, you know, I love that our city wants to help folks that want to come to America for a better life, but oftentimes they're exploited right under our nose, right under our nose. And it happens a lot right in our backyard, you know, a lot.
Give me an example of, in our local, without naming names, of course, or organizations, but what's some of the day-to-day or stuff that you've seen on a regular basis that would shock or just we don't think about when it comes to our own city?
Well, passing by, you know, what you believe is a normal spa. I remember one particular that we had busted, and I remember it was a middle-aged guy. He looked like a normal guy you see at the grocery store, and I remember coming in, hey, identifying myself as a police, and just the deer in the headlights look. And as I'm kind of, you know, as an officer, you're kind of checking for weapons, you're looking, but as a Christian, you know, I'm looking a little deeper. I see the hurt in this guy's eyes, and I see a circle in his pocket of a ring, right? And I see what appears to be little kids on a keychain. And my first response is, hey, what are you doing here? And it really was more of a, man, you're married, you have kids, what are you doing here? And his response, I think, was more of an interrogation from police. He goes, oh, my back, it's, I was like, no, like, what do you, because we had clearly knew why he was there at that point. And he's, you know, and he just goes into a dark spot in his life of how his marriage was going down. And just to be able to let that guy know that, hey, I wish somebody could walk with this man and just say, like, you know, and just letting him know that day, this is not going to fill your cup. This is all flesh. This is not, and to making people understand that they may appear that they want to do this, but they don't.
They being the girls.
These victims, they do not. You know, and that's one thing alone. The other thing is doing these stings for these large-scale events. I've had people show up to what they think they're coming to meet us, but what they think they're meeting is an underage girl for sexual favors in exchange for money. And I've had anywhere from doctors to dads dropping their kids off to practice and then showing up there. And that's it's a real eye opener in our backyard. And I mean, this is East End to West End. It's not just one area of town. Oh, that must be in the bad end of town. Absolutely not. It's literally right under your nose. It's a rock throw from where you're at.
Wow. DJ, talk to our listeners about, as we wrap up here, what would you want the average listener who just listened to this show, what would you want them to do, and how would you want them to respond today?
I think we all have, you know, responsibility. It's just for humankind to look out for those that don't have a voice. You know, not everybody can jump in a car and drive over to an aftercare. Not everybody is in a spot to where they trust the police. And what can we do to help them? You know, obviously, if you see something, say something, but look a little deeper in these organizations and like Slavery No More. You know, we could use the assistance and help. And we're very transparent in what we're doing because we want people to come along on mission with us and see the differences we're making in people's lives. And this is something that is, please don't just gaff it off and think, oh man, this must be in a, you know, a course in this city, or, well, yeah, everybody knows it's happening there. No, it's right in your backyard. And a lot of times it's, you pass by it every day and you just don't even realize it.
That's amazing.
So in regards to people getting involved, they can write checks. They go to slaverynomore.org, slaverynomore.org. They can write checks. They could get involved in some way, shape, or form. What is the one thing that people need to be looking out for to say that could be a trafficked child or person?
If you're really into this and you see the statistics, it's all the things you see online, and just understand that more than likely can be happening. And it's hard because it can drive you crazy sometimes wondering if that is or is not. And we're all going about our daily life. But I will say that all of us have been blessed by God to develop a skill set to do this type of work. It is something that, you know, we've had guys on our team and gals that have been doing this for, you know, a long, long time in a lot of different ways. So it isn't something that's reckless. It's done very meticulously and working hand in hand with law enforcement and aftercare. So, you know, but there's the flip side of that. And the other side of it is this, as I mentioned earlier, is who's going for them? Who's going to find them? Just think about that for a minute. Who's going to find them? And if we're going to find them, how do we get there? And the unfortunate side of it, but the reality is you can't jump on a plane for free. You know, you can't, you know, go in an area and switch vehicles over and over to make sure that the trafficker knows you're not watching them without having the funds to exchange rental cars several times. Those are just some of the small things. Hotel stay. I've stayed in places to where I hate to admit it, wake up with, you know, bites to the point of, I mean, you're just the area then the funds that you have, but you work in the conditions you have to help. So I just, man, just strongly encourage folks to come on mission with us. And it's so fruitful. It's filled my heart and it's given me something that, man, it's just, it's priceless. It really is.
You are living with purpose, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to just say thanks. We're wrapping up here. DJ, would you pray us out? Pray for us guys that we would be men of courage and live righteously and we would be aware and have our eyes opened. Would you pray for us?
Father God, I pray that you touch all the people in our lives, whether they're driving down the road right now, driving to their job and or sitting at their desk, or home on the couch with their loved one. I pray, Lord, that you know that that you just have the Holy Spirit fill them with purpose and understand that we're not here for an accident. We're really here to be on mission for you, God, and to just fill your kingdom with your people and to help the least of these. We leave the 99 to find the one. And I pray that we take this time, Lord, to really just work together and help those in need.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, DJ.
SlaveryNoMore.org, SlaveryNoMore.org. If you want to help or if you see something you think you want to report, go to that website. You can reach out. Thank you for listening to Solid Steps Radio.